The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Brad Adcox. He is the National Sales Manager for Navic Tools.
Pleasure.
Brad, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure for having me.
So first question I ask everybody, how in the world did you get into this HVAC industry?
A little funny story, but I kind of grew up in it. So my dad kind of ran a distributor. So I kind of grew up the halls, seeing what the wholesale side of our industry did instead of being in the trenches with the contractors. I got to see all the contractors coming into that branch, seeing what their everyday problems was, what they liked, what they didn't like. So it was a little different than actually being in the trenches.
Okay. So we've experiencing a ton of changes right now. Last 3 years, it's just been one change after another. But this year, everybody's really concerned about the low GWP refrigerants, and we're looking at going from A1 to A2L refrigerants, and so that's on everybody's mind. And I hear from distributors, I hear from territory sales managers, and I hear from many of our contractors and their technicians, you know, are my tools ready for this A2L transition that we have?
Yes and no. So I'll start it off. If you're going to buy any new tools right now, of course, look to make sure they're A2L compatible. But right now, if you look at your service truck, you had the same vacuum pump recovery machine for years. And now you're going to have to change it out. It's an expensive thing to change out. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at it. Do I really have to change it out? So you can check it. You can open it up and see, is there soft contact switches? Is there a sparkless DC motor? If it doesn't have a sparkless DC motor, is the motor that it has enclosed and sealed so no sparks can exit? Things like that.
So for the most part, stuff that's been manufactured in the last couple of years, what would you generally say if somebody purchased something with the last 2 or 3 years?
I would honestly just do your research, see what the manufacturer says. Is it A2L compatible? Because there's no government issue on, hey, these are the guidelines.
Hmm.
All the manufacturers are kind of following the same guidelines, but there's nobody saying, hey, it has to do exactly this. If you have this box, it has to have all of this stuff in it to be. What everybody's doing is what they consider is A2L compatible. What kind of the manufacturer's taking the risk on themselves whenever they put that on the box.
So what you're telling me is there is no standardized like UL regulation that says, here's your A2L stamp.
No. It all falls on the manufacturer to say, hey, this is safe with an A2L refrigerant.
Okay, so then it's up to the contractor. And so just talk about Navic and what they've done. Have you created any resources for contractors where they can go and they can easily look up equipment that they've bought in the last couple of years to see if it is compliant with Navic's standard that they put together of, yes, this is a good A2L tool?
It's pretty easy. You can just go to our website.
Okay.
There's a link that says A2L tools. Click in and it'll list every single thing we do that's A2L compatible.
Okay. And so that's really easy for contractors to go and take a look at it. You know, this transition, you and I were talking a little bit before we came on here, you know, going from an A1 to an A2L, of course, there's A2 and A3s. We're not talking about going to an A3, which would be like a propane or something along those lines.
Correct. It's closer to an A1 than anything. It's pretty much another version of 410A.
And so when we look at that, the safety issues, although it is classified as an A2L, there's not a whole lot that needs to change from the contractor's perspective and using those tools out there. But we were also talking, you talked about, you know, best practices are going to need to be adhered to, which they should have been adhered to even before we made this transition. And so what are some of those best practices that you think become more heightened as we move into this transition that contractors need to make sure they're really paying attention to?
I mean, the first off is just to make sure your tools are A2L ready.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing your day-to-day processes, for example, doing a joint. A lot of people just take their flame, heat it up, unbraise the joint. With an A2L refrigerant, you shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, there's no propane in it, but it's still under perfect conditions. You could have an issue. So use your tube cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Stuff that you should already been doing already on your everyday processes. Now they're just making sure you do it.
So when you have something that you're going to replace, it's cutting out that bad joint. It's creating a brand new, clean, fresh joint, and then putting things back together.
Correct. I mean, you're going to have to use tools to take the guesswork out of it. Mm-hmm. For example, like in NAVAC, we have an automatic flare tool. So right now there was a test study. I'm going to blank on the college, but they did five flares, various sizes, and went to a bunch of different contractors and had them do five flares, went back and they tested these flares. So every contractor who did five, the average was 2 to 5 leak.
Hmm.
So me being me, I went to my shop. I did the same test. And I was like, I'm pretty good at this. They look beautiful. 4 out of 5 leak.
Hmm.
So now I'm thinking, good thing I stayed on this side of the trade. And now when I show everybody our tool, I explain to them, it might look perfect, but it's not perfect. Are you checking it with a flare gauge? You're not. Is the factory flare perfect? Did you check it? Because right now with an A2L, you might have a leak point.
Hmm. And that's going to become a bigger and bigger issue. You brought over your new 2024 catalog, your product catalog that you have. You know, the big question I have, are non-A2L products still available from tool manufacturers, or is everything going forward going to be rated as A2L?
I think everything going forward that will be manufactured from now on will be A2L.
Okay.
But there's still going to be stuff in the supply houses that's either old stock or stuff that just didn't move that you might see on the table as, heck, that's a good deal. But double check it. Make sure it's going to work for what you want it to do.
So is there any way that the tools are marked or to say that NAVAC has certified this to be A2L rated?
There is a little, pretty much a stamp on the box that just says A2L compatible. So that's showing that we did all our checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, A2L to NAVAC isn't new. NAVACs have been manufacturing and doing tools this way globally for years. So, for example, the UK has been doing A2L for the last 6 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We've been supplying the tools for that already. So, with the US switching to A2L, just another day in the park for us.
Okay. You know, as I look through the catalog, I see a big push towards digital gauges versus analog.
Correct.
What percentage of your tools are, would you say, when you look at gauge sales that you have, would you say are analog versus digital today?
It's kind of hard for us because we've always had a mixture of one digital, a bunch of analogs.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in ours is that we've always put it in a shelled case, so it's resistant, drop proof. Mm-hmm. Glow in the dark, things like that, things that give it a little special features.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at text today, it is changing drastically. Everybody loves digital. It's going to be a big thing. I don't think you're ever going to see analogs die out by any means, but I do see you're going to see a mixture of a digital and an analog manifold.
So being a tool manufacturer, obviously everybody's going to say, well, you want me to buy a lot of gauges, but we're running into a time where techs are going to have to be able to work on our 22 systems that are still out there, our 410A systems. They're going to have our 32 systems, and there's going to be our 454B.
Correct.
And so there's 4 different refrigerants that are going to be prevalent within the standard air conditioning, residential, AC, and heat pump markets that contractors are working in. And so when we start to look at that, are there going to be any recommendations that you have for techs in terms of the gauges that they should be using, or what best practices would you share with a tech in terms of as they go from one system to another?
If you're a veteran tech, you already have your gauges that you like, and most likely it's a universal that already has a number of refrigerants that it could already be used with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the old school guys that you'll see 4 or 5 different rigs on there, all have hoses. They're going to, whatever job they're on, they're going to grab that setup. So you're going to have kind of the mixture of both still, but I think you're also going to have kind of the newer techs coming in that are seeing the new things on social media. For example, we have one in there, if you want to kind of scroll over, called the Flex 72. It's actually, I think it'll be that way.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a digital basic manifold it's actually going to be a couple more over, that does all 72 refrigerants. So now a newer tech could walk in, buy that right there.
All right.
That one gauge and manifold, and hey, guess what? You have 72 in one. So you're going to make that one purchase one time.
Okay.
And now you're just starting off. That was an easy pill to swallow instead of having to buy three or four different ones or seeing what your veteran tech is using who has a big digital manifold that has all the bells and whistles that he paid a couple grand for. So this is an easy way for a tech to come in and have everything ready to go.
Another big thing that we look at in our industry right now that's becoming a big issue when we look at they're cutting the supply or the production of all of the HFCs that are out there, and we're stepping down. They stepped down 10%, and we saw that had a major increase on price 410A, and now they just dropped down another 30%. And so we're seeing this big push towards recovery and reclamation. Are you seeing more and more contractors that are getting into that space and doing better with recovery systems, getting those into tanks, and then turning that back in to do the reclamation and recycling?
Definitely. It's become a huge thing. Probably the past 6 months is when I've really noticed the boom of it, is you have some contractors that honestly never did it before. They mm-hmm. will openly admit it. Hey, I've never done it. And now that they're seeing that, there's only so much virgin gas left. So once that's gone, guess what? It's gone. It's never being made again.
Right.
So now the manufacturers are stressing, hey, you need to recover and you need to do it correctly. You can't just be mixing everything. So that was a big thing. We don't know what was all in those tanks half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that's changing where guys are actually taking forth the effort of actually doing proper practice. So that way there actually is gas for years to come.
Well, Brad, I really appreciate you coming out here. I don't know, is there anything that you want to share with our audience, just from the view of a tool manufacturer as we go into this change? Are there any last thoughts or comments that you have for our audience as we look and we're moving towards into this transition?
You really need to look at all the manufacturers, all the tools. Look at what's in your truck, what you personally use today. Look at your buddy's truck. I promise you, he doesn't use the same stuff. Ask him why he uses that stuff, because maybe you want to swap. Use social media. There are so many different influencers, brands pushing their product every day that you get to see the bread and butter on why people use it, or a tech that's actually using it. Because right now, everybody's tools are great. You just need to figure out which one's great for you.
Brett, I thank you so much for being on here. And for all of our viewers out there, if you liked this episode, please go ahead, hit that like button. Also, make sure that you follow us so that you can be informed of all of the other upcoming episodes that we have. Brad, thank you so much for coming here.
I appreciate it.
Yep.